Welcome back, and thank you for being with us. And I just want to pray before we preach the word this morning. So let's just pray together. Father, we come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. And Holy Spirit, we ask, Lord, that you would guide us and lead us into all truth. Father, even as I prepared and I preach, Lord God, let your words be sweet and evident. Let them be encouraging, uplifting, and challenging to us all, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen. 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 Well, this morning, we've looked through the series, A Leap of Faith. And throughout the series, I trust and pray that this has been a helpful series for you, notwithstanding the current situation we find ourselves in. I trust and pray that you've taken hold of the lessons and we can put our faith into action to take a leap. I remembered right in the very beginning, in part one, we said that for some of you, this might be a leap like this fellow is taking over this craggy crevice. And for some of you, it might be the two-step, the shuffle. It doesn't matter. As long as there's a leap of faith and a stretching and extending. And we want to be, as we are called to be, an apostolic prophetic people and anticipate faith and anticipate God throughout 2020, the rest of this year. And today, as we end this series, and this is the last one, I've titled the message, Anticipation. And we're going to look at some anticipations. And what are you anticipating in the next coming months? And we trust that will be good for you. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Said another way, it says this, faith is a settled confidence that something in the future, something that God has promised, will actually happen because God will make it happen. In a very more simplistic way, it says, faith is the anticipation of a preferred future designed by God. That should be a great promise for us to hold on to. And as the year continues, we read in the newspapers, we watch the media, we see the TV, we listen to the so-called pundits of what might happen, what might transpire, or what is going to take place, whether it's health-wise, economically, socially, politically. Even the brightest of minds do not know what's going to happen over the next few months. However, we know who does. And we have our faith, and he holds our future, and that is Jesus. And so we look to that today. And let me just be clear. I want to applaud our Premier and his team for what they are doing. This is a different season that we are all walking through. And the thought just came to me, no one went to political school on how to deal with a pandemic. And so what they need is our prayers, not our criticism. And so we just want to continue to pray for them because they are walking through the same newness as we are, of where to next. So in closing this series this morning, I want to end this note of anticipation for the future, a hope in Jesus. Jesus, the light of the world that will deliver us from where we are. Now, the title anticipation should lead us to ponder or think about, well, what does this word anticipate mean? And I'm so glad you asked, because it means to expect, to foresee, to look forward to await, to be hopeful of. They all speak of undefined futures, a roller coaster ride, if you like. I remember at school, I ran cross country once or twice. And when we ran cross country, it wasn't you walk the course before as at school. They had marshals out there and markers, and they said, you're running 5Ks, go. And we had to look for where the next marker was. And that's what we do. We find it, and some of us find this daunting. Others find the thrill of this, like the ride on the roller coaster. However, if we continue in faith, we can anticipate and look forward to a great 2020 in Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at some faith anticipators from Hebrews 11. And we have to understand that it's by faith and faith alone that we anticipate and look forward to the rest of this year. What is behind us is behind us. What is ahead of us, as Ontario number plate says it's yours to discover. With God, it is when we live in the temporal, not fully knowing everything, but fully immersed into God and what His plans and purposes are for us and what He has called us for. And with eternity in our hearts, we anticipate and we become the realities of what He has called us to. So number one, faith gave Abraham his future. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of that place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in a land of promise, as in foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promises. And here, verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city that has foundations, whose designer and builder is God. Abraham took a leap of faith and stepped out in obedience to God's call in anticipation with eternity in his heart of that new heavenly city. And he lived in the now and the then. And we need to learn to live in the now and the then. And it says he obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. How many of us have that kind of faith? How uncertain is that? I know we like it all neatly parceled together and we like to know the directions and you have to have your TomTom up to date or whatever device you use. I remember when we first came to Canada, the people said to us, well, you go north here and you go south here, you go east and you go west. And we were thinking, what are they talking about? We only knew, coming from South Africa, we knew right and left, up and down. And so only when someone explained to us that everything's on a grid and how it all works did we get north and south. And sometimes we want to live in that, but we're reminded of this faith anticipation that Abraham was a pilgrim and he lived in a temporal nomadic existence, knowing full well that the promised land wasn't even his real home. Abraham understood, this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through. And I want us to understand that we are also passing through. This life here is temporal, and we live fully for God while we anticipate, look forward to the real city and the real home. Our anticipation of our future here and our future to come. The second thing we need to understand, faith is sacrificial and testing. Hebrews 11:17 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was in the act of offering up his only son. In Genesis 22, it gives us an account of Abraham and Isaac. And in 22 verse 1, it says, and these things God tested Abraham. And we have to understand, testing is for character. Tempting is for sin. Don't confuse the source and don't confuse the trial. God does not tempt us. Well, how do you know that? I'm so glad you asked. James 1:13 says, let no one say that when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself tempts no one. But there is sacrifice and there is testing, and I know, we've been tested in so many areas. Character building, faith building stuff. And there will be areas going forward now and into the future where God will test you, and there are areas that he will require of us to make some sacrifices. And I know we're living that. You're making some sacrifices right now, but we want to live for the future. Number three, faith is believing in future blessings. Now, this is not just bless me, bless me. Please let me be clear. Hebrews 11:20 says, by faith, Isaac invoked future blessings on Jacob and Esau. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. And you can read these accounts in Genesis 27 and 48, a blessing for future generations. We believe that 2020 is still going to be a year like no other. Amen. Not looking back over our shoulders, not saying, oh, how terrible, whatever months they are that we're in lockdown. We're going to look forward and say, these are the purposes and plans of God for us, and they have not changed. What a glorious day ahead for us. And we want to believe and leave a legacy for the third and fourth generations that we will pass on to our children and to our children's children. And we believe in building for the third and fourth generation. When we were planning to come to Canada from South Africa, at God's call, he took me aside one day and he said, "My son, you're not going there to build yourself. You're going there to build for the third and fourth generation." And once I knew that, I was settled in my heart. And we want to see building into the third and fourth generation, anticipating a great future blessing for our children and our children's children. Number four, faith is having a vision for the future. Hebrews 11:22 says, "By faith Joseph, at the end of his life, made mention of the exodus of the Israelites and gave directions concerning his bones." You might think, well, that's a little weird. But we have to understand that in Genesis chapter 50, verse 24, although he died and his bones were going to be buried in Egypt, Joseph still looked forward to a preferred future. He gave instructions to his people and of a final resting place for his bones. His bones rested in Egypt for 360 years, but he looked in settling in the promised land. And sometimes I know we live in the age of the society of a click of the switch, but the prophetic words of God and the promises of God take sometimes time to work themselves. And even though things right now might not be 100% where we want to be or how we want things to be, we still have God's plans and purposes of a great future instilled in us. Our dreams of a great future are still in God's hands. It appears we have a hiatus at this moment, but this is not the end. Let me encourage you with it. We still live in anticipation of a glorious future. And one of the greatest ideas I have for when a great future is the day that we can gather together, collect together, and be with one another and face to face with one another. Not through the screen. Thank you, Jesus, for Zoom. But Lord, where we can see each other face to face together. And we want to see our families grow and mature into that. And more families come in and join us. Number five, faith gives courage for the prophetic. Let your gifts not be settled in this time. Expand your prophetic gift and use it in this time. Hebrews 11:23, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful, and they were not afraid of the king's edict." You have to understand, the king's edict, if they were caught, would probably have been death. But they saw something, they knew something of a future for Moses. And we have faith that brings this prophetic promise to fruition. God's promises are still true, even and through a crisis. Yeah. His parents persevered and preserved his life in hope of a greater future, a prophetic action of a greater future. And they knew that there was more in store for Moses than the king knew, than anybody else knew. Moses spent 40 years in Pharaoh's courts, having the best training and education for leadership for when God would call him. And we continue to step out and allow God to speak through us for our future. Let your prophetic voice arise and be known. Number six, faith gives us our identity in God. Hebrews 11:24, it says, "By faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward." Moses knew something in his heart of a greater reward, a greater future, an identity other than that was instilled in him for 40 years. That there was something. It's almost like the caged eaglet that knows he is not meant to hop on the ground. He is meant to be soaring on wings above. And in Exodus chapter 2, we receive our true identity from our Heavenly Father. Moses' true identity came later in life, not through his early upbringing. Philippians 3 verse 7 says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." We have to know who am I and whose am I. Our identity is in Christ Jesus, not in ourselves. Number seven, faith leads us to salvation. Hebrews 11:27, by faith he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn might not touch them. Saw him who is invisible. As recounted, we see the story of a faith experience of when Moses met God in the burning bush, the one that is invisible. And by faith he obeyed God and he kept the Passover and followed the instructions to sprinkle the blood on the lintels of the door. And through that, saved a nation, saved a future generation, saved the future of going forward. These moments, we don't always fully understand everything that's going on. Yet, all in all, we obey and we listen to and take heed of what God tells us. We are not afraid of the manipulating voices, but full of faith because we obey the invisible one. We live for the kingdom, the king and his kingdom, not for ourselves. Number eight, faith protects us from our enemies. Hebrews 11:29. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. Amazing miracles out in the desert. And when we put our faith and our trust and we take our identity from God and obey his word and listen to his voice and take our leading from him, he has no choice but to extend his hand of blessing and favor and protection over us. James 4:7, probably one of the worst quoted scriptures in the whole Bible. Because if you say to, what does it say? Most people will say, resist the devil and he will flee. No, that's not what it says. It says, submit yourself therefore to God. We come under his protection first, in his might, in his power. Our faith in that moment protects us and the enemy will flee. We do not get him to flee because of who we are, but because of whose we are and in Christ Jesus. And then the last one in these faith anticipators, faith brings us into a new family. And I want to encourage you in that. Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith, Rahab, the prostitute, did not perish with those who were disobedient because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. Rahab is a beautiful, graceful picture of obedience and faith. Turns her obedience gets her to lead a new life and a new family. Life situations will change when we live out in faith and obedience. When all others were killed around her, she was saved and brought into the new family. And you can read, she lived with the Israelites the rest of her days. As we can see, these men and women of God looked forward, they looked onward, they looked upward, they looked outward. They looked through faith, these faith ventures. They were anticipating God. They were looking to the future. They were saying that faith is assurance of what we don't see. These and faith anticipators of old are lessons for us to walk in and live in for today. And so bringing this to a close, I want to look at some anticipating God in 2020. Encouragement for today. This is not waiting for us when we get to lockdown is over, then we can do it. This is now and then. It's living in the kingdom now and the kingdom later. The first one I want to talk about is anticipating God's grace. He will save. God has not and is not intending to go out of business. I know many people are suffering and the world is crumbling around many of us and our hearts go out to you this morning. But sometimes we're like the rancher who opened the gate, the cattle all left out, then he stands at the gate and waits for the cattle to come back home. They're not coming back home. You have to go out and fetch the cattle and bring them in. And we know God uses simple men and women as human witnesses to witness to the lost. This is what 2 Peter 3:9 says. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And so I want to encourage you this morning that we have not passed unknowingly into a new dispensation where God is an absent father. He is still drawing people through his Holy Spirit to himself. He is still saving people from damnation and hell to eternity. As the spies were shown kindness by Rahab, as Rahab gave kindness to the spies, and the promises were fulfilled, there was a room for Rahab and her family. You can read that in Joshua chapter 6. God would have us anticipate his grace going forward. There's still room in the house of God. There's still room in the family of God. And there's still room at the feet of Jesus. Anticipate God and come to know him as your Lord and Savior. The second one is anticipating God's goodness. And what we mean by that is he will bless us. God's goodness towards us is revealed in the blessings he gives us. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. He has given us everything. There's nothing more that we can expect. He has given us a package deal. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. We continue to anticipate and live in the glory and the graciousness of the promises of God in this grace of age that we live in. His goodness, his kindness, his mercy, his love, the hope that he gives us. We are blessed and highly favored with his unmerited grace upon our lives. Not because what we have done or what we will do, but because Jesus has done for us. We are righteous in his sight because of his imputed righteousness to us. Number three, anticipating God's guidance. He will lead us. I don't know what to do, Lord. Ask him. Take time. Spend time with him. Psalm 23:2 says, he makes me lie down in green pastures. I love the imperative language in the Bible. He makes me to lie. He brings rest to my soul. He takes me and he leads me besides quiet waters, not turbulent waters, not crazy waterfalls or rushing streams, quiet waters. He restores my soul. He brings comfort to me. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 48:14. For this is our God forever and ever. He will be our guide even to the end. That's a fantastic promise for us to take hold of. Will God take us some of the way, part of the way? No, no, all of the way, even to the end. The last scripture is John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Holy Spirit, what is it that I need for today? Holy Spirit, what is it that you will infuse me today? What wisdom do I need for today? He will guide you and lead you into all truth. He led these mighty men of faith into their full inheritance. He made way for generations to come. He has led us to this point, and he will take us further, and he will lead us on. He will establish more of his church. He will into the future generations. Even whilst we are unable to gather, our promises remain the same, anticipating and advancing together. Preparing at this time in lockdown, we should be preparing and sharpening our tools and our weapons and planning ahead for what God has got for us. He led Moses to the backside of the desert, into obscurity, and then into the courts of Pharaohs, where he has that amazing speech, "Let my people go." And we see God's people and takes them into their full inheritance. The last thing I want to share this morning is anticipating God's voice. He will speak. When we ask him, he will speak. By faith, each one of these people listened intently for God's voice. Stop, go, yield, wait. In all our attempts to convey the goodness and the mercies of God, we forget there were often times when it was a clear command, not a request. We always want to pray, well, God, can I, may I? And when he doesn't answer, may I suggest to you, those are yield moments or those are wait moments. Other times he'll say no. And we have to be obedient to that and take it as no. And then others go. He speaks through the preaching of his word. If we have ears, to hear. He speaks through our devotional times with him if we enter into seeking his voice. He speaks through the prophetic voices. He speaks through our corporate prayer times. He speaks through each one of us when we come to him. James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. My apologies, here is the last point, I promise. Anticipating God's presence, he will come. Now I know as believers of Christ, we carry the presence of God with us wherever we go. But we know that God loves his children so much. He's like a good dad. He wants to be with his children. And he will presence himself in greater ways where two or three are gathered in his name. We don't need to read behind the experts in the fields of economics or cultural politics to know what 2020 holds. There's only God, and it is him who we should consult going forward. And again, this is not a political endeavor, but we are instructed in Scripture to pray for our government. So I encourage you, pray for your government. The children of God need only consult their Father in heaven and his word and the Holy Spirit, the Parakletos, who will lead us and guide us into all truth. May we be that kind of servant to our Father during this rest of this year. We want to anticipate God in every area, every decision, every word, every thought and action. Be encouraged this morning. And again, I say, one of my great anticipations of the faith is when we will be together again, when we will be, see, we miss you so much. And we want to be together. And I encourage you, get together on our Zoom times, on our prayer meetings, and connect. Stay connected. And then again, I'll just say, as we finish off this thing, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to finish this. And I encourage you, join us for our communion on Zoom. So, Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, for these faith anticipators as road signs for us as we walk this journey with you at the head, Lord God, as we follow your plans and your purposes, as we partner with you in what it is that you want us to do, Lord. And God, we ask that you would bless everyone listening today. Father, those that hear this message, that they would share it with their friends and family, Lord. And God, that our hearts would be encouraged to anticipate you in 2020. God bless. We'll see you next week. Amen.